Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 164 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? You'll have to forgive me if my voice is a little thick or if I have a few sniffles. I was in Grand Rapids this past weekend, and among other things, I got snowed on. Got hit with, maybe 6-8 inches of snow. It was cold, but a fantastic weekend. I love Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids. Place is always packed. I did 6 shows. 4 of them were sold out. It was great. Interestingly, for those who don't know, Grand Rapids is home of the Amway Corporation and the DeVos family. And that's where we got our new Secretary of Education, who never taught, but she's another Trump pick. I don't even know her name off the top of my head. But anyway, it was interesting for me to be in a Grand Rapids town because, as you may or may not know, I'm not exactly what you'd call a Trump supporter. You know, that's just me. But anyway, the response was good. There were a couple of people at the last show who seemed a little upset about my Trump jokes. And I don't like spending too much time on Trump in my act. If I do 45 minutes, I'll spend at most 8 minutes on Donald Trump, because I'm tired of feeding it. I'm tired of the narrative, but it's what we have to talk about, right? And that just leads me right into my podcast. So Time Magazine called Trump Person of the Year, and people were upset. You know, I'm not upset. I understand it. Listen, love him, hate him, whether you disbelieve that he became president, whether you just think it's funny and you're part of that Saturday Night Live world, or you're just plain scared. No matter where you are on the Trump spectrum, Trump was easily the biggest story this year. The campaign, the tweets, the grabbing women by the pussy, the fact that he was elected, the anger of his supporters, on and on and on. This is the story. So Trump, see, here's the thing. Person of the year is not good person of the year. It's just person of the year. So I'm okay with him being Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Now, some say the graphic artist who did the cover of Time did it in such a way that the M in the word Time forms devil horns on Trump's head. And if that's the case, good on you. Great shot. So Trump was elected, and the Russians hacked our election. Now, we knew that. We knew that the Russians hacked into servers during this election process, the Democratic Party, and so on. What the CIA is saying now, when it does no good, is that they did it with intent for Trump to win. Their whole support was for Trump to win. And again, this is nothing we didn't know. The average person knew this because all the information that came out, whether it be through WikiLeaks or the FBI suspicions or any of that bullshit, was all aimed at Hillary Clinton, never at Donald Trump. So we knew this. The horrific thing is now the CIA said it's done. Now, it's, of course, Donald Trump, who doesn't feel he needs daily security briefings. Isn't that amazing? The president is like, nah, I don't need to hear daily security briefings. Once a week is enough. But anyway, going beyond that, now, of course, he says it's ridiculous. The CIA gets everything wrong. They were wrong about weapons of mass destruction and so on. But think about this. It's still the Republican Party. He's their leader, and he says they were wrong about weapons of mass destruction. Who brought us that story? Anyway, very interesting to me, the lack of action in the aftermath. I love Barack Obama, okay? I've always loved Barack Obama. I think he was a great president. But the fact that nothing's being done here, like there isn't some crazy outrage to the point of, do we have to rerun the election? You understand? It's that serious when the Russians get involved in our election, right? and his FBI didn't do anything. You know, even Republican senators, McCain, McConnell, are saying that this is bad. Something needs to be done. Now, mind you, when they say something needs to be done, there isn't going to be like Benghazi hearings. You know, there isn't going to be like 12 hours of quizzing Donald Trump and his new Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, who just happened to run Exxon, which happened to make oil deals with Putin and Russia and so on. No, there won't be any big Benghazi type investigation, but maybe they'll ask a question or two. Of course, they're going to do it in secret Senate committees and blah, 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 and it's going to go away. It's bullshit. These people, these Americans, right, because being an American, being a patriot, has been hijacked by the right wing to the point where I don't even like the term patriot. Like, if you call me a patriot, what'd you call me? When you want something, you want some trouble? That's how bad patriot has become. That's how much they've adopted the word. Yet, for Russia, the enemy, to have hacked into elections, they're like, no big deal. What would St. Ronnie Reagan say? That's always my question. What would St. Reagan say if he knew the Russians hacked into our elections and his party was okay with it? That's that. Few other things that I wanted to talk about this week, real quick, because I'm not going to spend a lot of time, because there is some things I want to spend time. Scott Pruitt, the head of the EPA under Trump, denies climate change exists. Why the hell not? Why the hell not? Glenn Beck thinks Sarah Palin is crazy. Okay, stop and wrap your head around that a minute. Glenn Beck thinks Sarah Palin is crazy. Yeah, this may be the end of the world. It may be. The fact that the Cubs won the World Series. Some say that's when it started, with all due respect to Cubs fans. Not that it was the cause, just that it was an indication. But this was Glenn Beck. Quote, let me go back real quick. Sarah Palin, sincerely, has she had a brain aneurysm? Glenn Beck asked that during his weekly televised staff meeting on the Blaze Network Monday night. Quote, because I don't know what happened to her. That's amazing. He talked about her overly giddy endorsement of Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. He said she was crazy when she endorsed Donald Trump. And so that's amazing. That's amazing. So have we lost our minds? I think that might be the indication. Glenn Beck said that Sarah Palin's crazy. Wow. Okay, so now I'm going to get into this thing. Oh, and Kanye West visited Trump Towers and hung out with Trump this morning, which, yeah, again, it's over. See, we no longer live in reality. We live in TV reality. The Apprentice, the Celebrity Apprentice, whatever the hell, is now being hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So think about that. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was an actor who became governor of California and did a horrible job, is now host of Celebrity Apprentice. And the creator of Celebrity Apprentice, Donald Trump, is now president, a reality show, is president of the United States, visited by Kanye West, who is completely lost his mind and wants to be president in 2020. I mean, the whole thing is unbelievable. And by the way, when we talk about these relationships, okay, and the media, because I'm about to go in on the media, but when we talk about that, keep in mind that The Apprentice is owned by NBC, and they're still paying Donald Trump. They're still paying fees. So think about that when the mainstream media has to cover the president. They're paying him. The same corporation that does Meet the Press or whatever also pays Donald Trump licensing fees on The Apprentice. Man, what has happened. Well, let's look at something that's happened. Now, this is something you can absolutely dismiss what I'm about to say and what I'm about to read. This struck me as incredibly interesting. It's an article written by Neil Gabler. It was written on BillMoyer.com, which Bill Moyers was a PBS reporter. Some will say this is an extremely left-wing website. Okay, so I'm telling you that up front. And it is not a fake news website. It is not a Facebook, we're going to make up the facts as we go website. I'll tell you that also. But anyway, this article talked about the followers of Ayn Rand, notably Paul Ryan, but definitely the Republican Party and the absolute shift of the values, morality, etc., and how far back this goes. I'm going to quote some things from the article. I'm going to quote also from Gore Vidal. Gore Vidal wrote about this in 1961. That's how far back this goes. That's how he saw it. He saw it. So Gore Vidal was writing about Ayn Rand, and okay, this is Gore Vidal on Ayn Rand in 1961. Vidal noted, "She has a great attraction for simple people who are puzzled by organized society, who object to paying taxes, who hate the, quote, welfare state, and who feel guilt at the thought of suffering of others, but who would like to harden their hearts." Okay, think about that for a minute, that rather than help others who suffer, they would like to harden their hearts. Does any of this sound familiar? Sort of like Paul Ryan and his whole plan to dismantle Social Security. This, again, is from Gore Vidal. "That it is right to help someone less fortunate is an idea that has figured in most systems of conduct since the beginning of the race," meaning the human race. "It is, one could argue, what makes us human. The opposing idea, Rand's idea, is that the less fortunate should be left to suffer." That's incredible, and yet it's true, and you see it. You see it in the anger they have toward anybody who is different, and they're so anxious to take away any program that might help somebody, whether it be education or food stamps or Head Start, or now public schools will be under attack and so on. Now, the writer of the article, okay, he said, "To identify what's wrong with conservatism and republicanism, and now with so much of America as we are about to enter the Trump era, you don't need high-blown theories or deep sociological analysis or surveys. The answer is as simple as it is sad. There is no kindness in them. The draining of kindness from huge swaths of the country occurred with so little resistance, in large measure, it's the fault in the media. The media has long prided itself on being value neutral." Now, that's true. If you've seen any coverage of these Trump rallies, if you've seen the Trump videos post-election, whether they be yelling at a barista in a Starbucks or yelling at passengers on an airplane, or there's no kindness, simple human kindness. You don't see it. Now, Getting into the media and being value neutral, because this is very important to me, and interesting to me, because what it's saying is the media shouldn't be value neutral. There's certain things that are right and wrong, simple rights and wrongs, and when these things are done wrong, the media should cover it and say it's wrong. So, continuing to read from the article, and normally I don't do this, but I can't not do this and get this story across. So forgive me, bear with me, or maybe you've already tuned out, which is cool too. Okay, so he's talking about reporters, media being value neutral. Back to the article. Of course, not even the most scrupulous journalists were ever really value neutral. Underneath their ostensible objectivity, there was a value default, an unstated moral consensus. And this is one to which most Americans subscribe throughout most of our history. It took a lot to activate those values in the press, but they did. The mainstream white media moved ever so slowly to report on the evils of segregation. Okay, now we're going back again to the 60s. Yet, when they finally did, they didn't behave as if African Americans marching for their rights and Sheriff Bull Connor sicking dogs on them were moral equals. Value neutrality had its limits. That's very important to look at, okay? I'm going to continue reading, but I'm going to talk about this. The journalists who covered the civil rights movement didn't think they were violating their professional code of objectivity by exposing the heinous conduct of the Southern authorities because they knew that what they were upholding wasn't subject to debate. The morality was stark. Think about that. They didn't cover black people marching and sheriffs sicking dogs on them, opening fire hoses on, as being equal, as being the same thing. Look at it now. Look at the Dakota Pipeline. Look how they covered or didn't even cover that. Think about that. That's what we've gone from. We've gone from when during the 60s civil rights marches, when they covered that, they said it was wrong. They said segregation was wrong. They took a moral stance, and it wasn't a radical left-wing moral stance or right-wing moral stance. It was human moral stance. Imagine those reporters covering Black Lives Matter. They would look at the actions of police. They would look at these police officers who get found not guilty and so on. It wouldn't just be, oh, look, just you. There isn't a neutrality in this. Some things are basically wrong. There isn't a neutrality in this. Okay, so this is a great thing he wrote in the article. Most of us understand kindness. It is just we have been encouraged to forget it. That was Ayn Rand's mission. Trump is proof of how well she and her acolytes like Paul Ryan succeeded. America is in a moral crisis. Many Americans seem far more interested in making sure that those that they consider undeserving, basically the poor, or you could say immigrants, or you could say minorities, okay, making sure that those they consider undeserving get nothing. They're more interested in making sure those they consider undeserving get nothing than in making sure they themselves get something. Think about that. That is a group of Trump voters. That is the poor white Trump voters who, when these programs are cut, make no mistake, when health care is cut, when welfare is cut, when food stamps are cut, when public education is cut, when Social Security is cut, it's going to affect them. But they're more concerned with minorities not getting this or immigrants not getting this than they themselves not getting it. Now, you talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. And again, this is just kindness, okay? This is just those who have more helping those who have less. Not any big deal. It doesn't hurt, okay? If you have billions, it doesn't hurt to pay taxes. It doesn't hurt me to pay taxes. Look, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I make a decent income, okay? I pay taxes. My taxes are used for a lot of services that I don't use, schools being the big one. But I have no problem with that. Society helping to feed the poor, I have no problem with that. That's what we do. That's society. That matters. Now, this thing, these Ayn Rand belief that no, just don't be, have no shame. Shamelessness. That's what Trump is shameless. We know that. But now that's become an American value. Shamelessness. I'm not ashamed. I don't care about poor people, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of doing something wrong. I'm not ashamed of watching wrongs be done. I'm not ashamed of watching a person get beat up at a Trump rally. I'm not ashamed of watching a cop shoot an unarmed man. That it's unbelievable. And yet it's not unbelievable. Now, this is where, this is on the media. This is on the mainstream media, okay? Stop pretending that wrong isn't wrong. Stop covering wrong like it's just news, okay? A Muslim registry in the United States is wrong, okay? Russia hacking our election is wrong. To equate, to compare as equals the imagined voting fraud that the Republicans continually talk about versus removing voting rights laws from the Constitution, removing these laws which came up with these weird that affect the election by affecting where you can vote, by removing polling places from Democratic areas, et cetera, et cetera. That's real. That's real. The 3 million illegal aliens that voted for president is false. It's a made-up story. It's absolutely not true. Stop covering those like it's equal. It's not the same thing to make up a story about 3 million voters in California that is a completely false story compared to removing polling places, limiting the hours, or limiting the ability to vote in advance in certain places, changing voting laws in places like Texas and North Carolina that or even Ohio that affected minority and people who would normally vote Democratic. That's real. Stop covering them as the same story, because it's not. You know, it's Russia hacking the election. That's real, and that is wrong. That is straight wrong, okay? Stop covering it like it's okay. Now, there are certain things that are value neutral. There are values that have changed in America since the 60s. Gun issues, value neutral. Cover both sides. Abortion, cover both sides. You know, you can't say one is right and one is wrong. There's a religious belief involved and stuff like that. I get that. But when something's wrong, say it's wrong. And that is on the media to remind America that we do have a morality. Look, the left and right, the morality isn't exactly the same. Religious versus secular, the morality isn't the same. But there are basics of what's right and wrong that they could cover. Okay, I'm off the soapbox. I'm off that soapbox. I'm going to get on another soapbox. Because there is a movie called Hidden Figures. And this is the most incredible story. The most incredible story. Katherine G. Johnson, Dorothy Vaughn, and Mary Jackson. You don't know who they are. I didn't know who they were. No one knew who they were. A few people, not many. These three African-American women were NASA mathematicians and were instrumental in getting John Glenn into space. That is incredible that we don't know that. That is incredible that we don't know that. So thank God this movie Hidden Figures is coming out to tell the story of what these women did in a time when they were marginalized both as being African American and as being women. Like, that's the 1-2. That's one of those, like, we don't know which they were treated worse for, having to go to segregated bathrooms or being doubted as women at that time were called computers. They were expected to compute. They were expected to do the math because that was beneath the male engineers. The male engineers came up with the ideas, et cetera, et cetera. These women were brilliant. And, you know, there are so many stories like this in Black history, in African-American history, people who did incredible things against incredible odds that we just don't hear about. Sure, we hear about Jackie Robinson, but think about that. When John F. Kennedy gave the mandate, gave the promise, he said that men, we're going to be first. We're going to make it to the moon, etc. Who thought three Black women would do the math? And get no credit for it. I mean, recently, yes, Katherine Johnson received the Presidential Medal of Honor from Barack Obama. But why did it take 50 years? Why isn't this taught in schools? How come I didn't know this? How come most people didn't know this? This is incredible, both for blacks and for women. You know, people like this astound me, okay? They astound me. What they did against incredible odds, impossible odds, it's magnificent. And these women are heroes, and these women are heroes as African-Americans. They're heroes as women, and they're heroes as Americans. And when you have some idiot Trump supporter yelling in a car window that you're a nigger because you cut them off in traffic and you drive like a nigger and blah blah blah, and you know, and you have these just blatant acts of racism because they're they're white and they're better. Are you better than these women? Do you know anyone better than these women? I don't. Sorry, I'm getting heavy again. I said I wasn't going to do this on the podcast. Go see the movie. Learn the story. I haven't seen the movie yet because it just came out, but I will definitely see it. And these women are amazing, and the portrayal of this story is amazing, and I'm very happy it's a story being told. Okay, now, getting back, because, you know, I don't want to end the podcast on that. So I will say there is some good news this week. The Clippers are winning again. I'm happy to hear that. It was a rough run. Basketball's doing great. Basketball's doing great. And football's doing pretty good, too, as sports, as a distraction, as something else to look at. So, yeah, I'm happy to talk about that. I could give you Trump stories ad infinitum. I could tell you forever how his cabinet is a cabinet of deplorables, a cabinet of curiosities at best. But I'm going to say that, by the way, I'm in Las Vegas. I'm working at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM Grand. There's no better place to be the week before Christmas than Vegas, watching kids' gifts be lost on blackjack tables all up and down the strip. Fantastic. Hey, kid, you thought you were getting a PlayStation? Well, Dad took a hit on a 15. Sorry, won't be happening this year. My point being that it is the holiday season. Let's try and take a little break from this horrible news, this daily dose of horrible news. And wouldn't it be great if the media did step up? But I don't think they will, because they still like his tweets. God bless America and nowhere else. That was from a Chris Rock movie about Chris being a black president. And man, art imitates life. Fiction. I don't know what's true or what's fiction anymore. Donald Trump is president. Arnold Schwarzenegger runs the Celebrity Apprentice. Kanye West is somewhere in between. I don't know what's real or what's fake. I hope you do. I'm going to finish this week out. New Year's Eve, I'm at Pechanga Casino in Temecula, California. And my podcast, there'll be one more, I think, this year. But then I have to find a new host. So there may be a little hiatus on the podcast. Regardless, I know you're out there. I know you're supporting me. Thanks for listening. Keep laughing. I promise the next one will be funnier. I keep trying to do them funnier. Then real shit happens. Forgive me.